Radio, natural health professionals together to have a better understanding of your health. Your host, Patricia Martinez.
Welcome. Welcome to Health Talk. Our topic for today is about absolutely everything one must learn about disability all in one place. Our guest today is Brian Therrien. Brian is a professional researcher that has worked with people with disabilities and has a number of friends that went through unexpected downturns in their life and require disability assistance. As a result, he has left no stone unturned to try and help them, which in turn caused him to create the Disability Digest. Welcome to Health Talk, Brian. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Patricia. Thanks for asking and thanks for having me on the call.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Can you explain more about how and why the DisabilityDigest.com was founded?
Sure. You know, what happened was interesting. I was running a prior business as other entrepreneurs have probably been in a like situation, and I was using a group of home-based independent contractors to market the product and services because I'd gotten stuck with all other channels. but what happened is this channel of marketing became very successful, and what I learned in it is that through its success, I looked to expand upon it, and a lot of those that were marketing the services, the top producers, were actually disabled. And I didn't know that until, you know, after I had an opportunity to get to know them, because it was remote work, and, you know, it was really the playing field was equal. They had to just go through some basic training and then get started. So long story short is I started to research the disability market on the labor side to see how many people were disabled in their home, were looking to supplement their income, what it was like for them to find work to do. And as I was doing that, those that I had become, you know, acquainted with had asked me to look into some other things that were disability related. So end result is I uncovered some major areas that have been underserved for people with disabilities, and started the Disability Digest.
Yes, I was researching your website, and I noticed you have a tremendous amount of links and I mean extremely high impact information for those with disabilities. You know, like something is, I won't say it's simple, but something is finding a grant to how to help people with disabilities start a business to so much others. Why do you feel that the Disability Digest can help listeners of Health Talk Radio Show?
Well, I guess I would have to say results now. In the early days, it was research. Before we started the Disability Digest, what we did is we ran surveys across the Internet, and we'd put up a survey that would say, you know, tell me, you know, who wants to know absolutely everything they want to know about disability? Sign up. Tell me what you're looking for today, and I'll give you my free book after I write it. So we did this in the early days and invested heavy in the research to find exactly what people were looking for. And so the business model for the Disability Digest was to determine that and then service the need and find the answers to their questions. So that's why. It's really not what we thought. As a lot of people start a business, they think they have an idea to go out there and market it. We're basically serving the people.
So how do you feel that the Disability Digest helps those trying to get on Social Security disability and benefits? How do they qualify? You know, there's so many questions as far as that. How do you feel that someone can qualify for that?
Not everybody does, actually, and I think that's one of the things. When people come to us, they want to know if they qualify and what conditions qualify and, you know, how to get started, where do you go, what forms to get, what really is the process. So what we've done here is we provide people with a process, really similar. Our business is run in some ways similar probably how you run yours with interviews, as we've gone out and found experts in the industry for a Social Security disability. We've interviewed them. We've asked them the common questions like, you know, how to get started, what common conditions count, what do you do if you get stuck, And they've donated their time and their effort and their energy to this, so people can come through and listen, or if they can't hear, don't have computer problems, and they can read the, you know, they can read the transcript according with it. So it's really finding, you know, the very best people. Like, you know, we put together this mini course for how people can get on Social Security Disability with Jonathan Ginsberg and some other top disability representatives throughout the U.S. So, you know, the long story to get on disability made very short for today's conversation, Patricia, is what we do is we provide people with an understanding of what it's like to get on benefits. About 2.6 million people apply every year, and only 800,000 get approved. Okay, so most people don't get on their benefits, but there's a lot of people that legitimately are disabled that don't get on their benefits. And the real deal is they would get on their benefits if their case was properly put together, and most people just take a, you know, an uneducated guess at filling out the forms, or they go based on some diner wisdom of somebody in their family that thinks they know what the process is like, and they end up getting stuck. So our course teaches them how to do it on their own and go through the system. Our course also teaches them the value of interviewing a top-notch disability representative about their case and comparing both options, so applying on your own, applying with a representative, really building a strong case and then moving your case forward. And we've gotten people through the system with it in record time. In addition to that, I will add that, you know, there's been 30,000 people that have taken our course. We get lots of feedback, little tips, things to do that we continue to add and build. So it's really based on, you know, the research originally and collective intelligence to tighten it up.
So basically, besides empowering the individual to take control and to apply and have the proper documentation, the proper procedure, you also help those individuals via the website with professionals that can assist them if they're not either able or capable of doing it themselves?
Right. In two ways, actually. One of the things that we have available for our members is when they come through, if they want to speak to somebody live, like somebody from the Disability Digest, they can either request a call, or in a lot of cases they actually get a call. And this is from somebody that works for the Disability Digest that's already disabled. 60-some-odd% of the work that we do now is done by our members that are disabled. So they can call somebody up and speak empathetically. All of those that work for us have been on disability for more than 5 years, so that they know what it's like. Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, in the beginning we talked about, you know, you were an entrepreneur, you were starting, you had doing another business. Why did this gain such a passion for you? What was it about when you discovered who it was that was doing this research and everything that you decided, well, this is something that I want to champion, this is something that I would like to help, my community and my friends and really create something that was viable and substantial for them. What made you change?
Well, you know, frankly, in the beginning, I didn't like it.
Okay.
I'll be candid with you. I didn't. I looked at it totally.
Your website, yeah. Okay.
I looked at it totally as a business in the beginning, but now you're right. It has grown on me, and there's, I guess, Patricia, there's two reasons why. The results when you either put somebody in a home, or you help somebody that is earning $1,000 a month and you help them, you know, find a way to earn an extra $300 or $400 a month and change their life, or you help them get disability income, the results for what I do in this business, the rewards from the people are just, it's unlike anything else I've ever done. So it's very, very satisfying. The other thing is, and I'm often asked this question, Patricia, it's like, boy, how do you do this? I'm an able-bodied guy. But I have met some of the most inspirational, driven people. And being around people with disabilities, what I've noticed is those that have limitations and disabilities, and you know, there is something in them, and a lot of people that have this, just this drive to succeed, and they're going to overcome that. And so I love to do what we're doing here today. I interview them and I take their story and I share it, and I've got a list of those on the site. So those are the two major reasons why I've stayed in the business and will continue to for the foreseeable future. And
Is there like upkeep, upgrades? Is there a constant fluctuation as far as what you need and to add to the disability website for people to stay attuned of the current changes or what have you that they need in order to obtain the benefits?
Definitely. You know, what we do and how we approach that is when somebody signs up for disability, well, when they sign up on our website, just so that I want to make sure you understand, they can select one of several different categories. Getting on disability is just one part of what we do. Some are looking for housing, others are looking for jobs, others have check-related issues, so they can choose that. In all of those areas, there is a consistent change in new information. So how we address that is this. Is there's an email autoresponder sequence that goes out with the standard information for each one of the categories. There is additional information that we advocate that for those that want to know absolutely everything there is to know, there's three other resources they can get involved in. One is they can subscribe to our blog. The other one is we have a community like MySpace or Facebook, but it's specifically for our members that have conditions and disabilities, and it's like the Wild West of information in there, and there's a lot to be learned from, you know, people with disabilities, chatting with people with disabilities. And the third thing that we do, Patricia, is every month, is we have a live teleconference where, you know, any member can call in, and we usually have a guest speaker, perhaps you want to come by someday, and speaks to our audience about something that's pertinent to them. And then in addition to that, we allow, you know, our members to get on the hot seat, you know, some of their most pressing questions. So that's how we address the, you know, the standard stuff and the consistent flux of information and new stuff that comes up.
Is there, is it primarily in English? Is there a counterpart, perhaps, you know, I ask in Spanish because I am of Mexican or background here. Is there a counterpart? Is this something that someone that perhaps might not be fluent in the English language that can also utilize as a resource?
That's a good question. You know, I haven't seen any indicator that has requested, you know, a strong enough more than 1% request to have this put in another language.
You know, my next question is, I'm curious, as I was, like I said, I was researching your website, one of the things that caught my attention was sometimes the challenges of someone who is on disability, they're not to a degree where they're not really able to work. It's limited. How does one that does have disability, what process do they take to try to obtain employment? But not only that, how to make sure that they find a job or an employer doesn't exploit the fact that they are disabled.
Okay. Well, you know, this is a very interesting area of conversation. So, you know,
that just
intrigued me. Yeah, and it's actually, as I mentioned, why I originally got into this. Let me just, and please come back to me if I miss some of the points that you came up with. But
I know I asked you too many at once.
Yeah. My first take is, people with disabilities, when they come to me and they say, I want to go back to work, and I go, do you really? Because what I have learned is that most people with disabilities are scared to go back to work. And the reason is twofold. One, it's very, very difficult to get on benefits, okay? And when you get on it, I mean, when people get on it on our website, we ask that they notify us, and we've got a handful of people that we all get up from our computer and we do a victory dance. I mean, that's how serious it is.
Wow.
So when you go back to work, you jeopardize losing your benefits, right? So especially if you're going back full-time, on the Ticket to Work program, which the government has put out, which is a totally bogus program in my opinion. It's whoever came up with that, I don't know what they were thinking. And it doesn't work. Less than 1% of the people ever go back to work full-time. So, but here's what I do know. People actually want to work. They want to work, you know, part-time, supplement their income. There is so many people out there that fall into that category, and they want to do it and keep their benefits. So, for sake of conversation and what people are interested in, may I focus on that area?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, what we do is, the first thing that I tell people to do that I've learned from, you know, like Andy Leaf, who does a lot of work with us, he's the person that I've met that has put more people, you know, in business with disabilities than anybody else that's out there, is he says, find something that you like to do, right? That's the first thing. And then see if you can take something that you like to do and turn it into revenue, okay? And then the third thing that you need to do is you really need to find out that it's going to be conducive to your disability. Here's where jobs have their challenges. Take somebody with an autoimmune condition like lupus or fibromyalgia. Well, if they go to apply for a job and the business owner says, well, listen, you got to be here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, between 2 and 5 in the afternoon, well, that is not going to work for those people. They just, their health will not allow them to do that. So they're setting themselves up for failure. So they need to find something else. So, you know, creative things. Like there's one gal, this is one of my favorite stories, Patricia. We worked and coached and talked to her, and we said, well, what is it that you like to do? She said, gosh, she says, I like to sit around. I go, well, that's good. I said, how are you going to make money at sitting around? I said, if you do, let me know. So long story short, and this took a little while, but she did develop a business called Sitting Around. And what she does is she goes to people's homes during the day, and she sits around and waits for the repairman to come, for the cable guy to come, right? For the dog sitter to bring the dog back. All these things so that people that are working don't have to take the time off from work.
How ingenious.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. That's ingenious. Absolutely.
You know, and there's a variety of those stories out there. A lot of people with disabilities, you know, if at all possible, and they can send and receive email, and they can retain and comprehend stuff, is we coach them to do something on the internet. It really is the best way. You know,
like working at home, right?
Working at home, start a blog, build a website. We have a lot of members that have built websites from scratch, turnkey kits, and, you know, some of them now have websites in the top 1% of trafficked websites in the U.S. It's really, you know, so stuff like that. It really, you got to start. There's no clean cut answer. You have to start with your own assessment, your skills, and something you like to do, and again, make sure it's conducive to your disability. And
you do so much. I'm like I said, I've been going over your website. There's like, it's just a vast amount of information. We could do a show for a week on all the different things that you provide here. So I want to get to some of the meat of it. And one of the things is that came to my mind is the fact that, you know, they have limited income. I mean, obviously, if you're on disability, they have a limited income. Some are always trying to secure that extra income. So some of the basic necessities of life will probably be challenged for them. For example, like, you know, housing or even obtaining sustenance, things like that. How do you help those members that are registered with you in looking for housing and just affording those basic necessities of life?
Yeah, well, you know, the government does have some help with housing, but housing, first of all, there is no good answer. It is the hardest thing out of every piece of the disability puzzle to put together. And the reason for that is, you know, the money is not in line on the entrepreneur side to build disabled housing. So the supply is very, very low. And the demand is enormous, especially with not just there's not just the disabled housing. There's the whole 55 plus accessibility housing now. that's doing that. So, but we do have some tips and tricks. The standard stuff that we have everybody do is we coach them to how to contact the offices of of HUD. And HUD actually now has housing counselors. And so it's like a real estate agent to help somebody that's disabled. They'll sit down, they'll go through their budget, their plan, their income, what their accessibility needs are, and then they'll show them what's available in the area. And so that's one. And I'm going to address the next one, and they're both similar in fashion. There's agencies in just about every nook and cranny that are one of my favorite tips for people with disabilities. They're called Centers for Independent Living, Patricia. And these are government-funded agencies that actually work. And they work because they're run mostly by people with disabilities. And these organizations don't provide any services per se, but they are tied in to, treatment options and housing being one of the focus things that they do in each community. And for the most part, they do have housing counselors as well. So what we advocate is you get a housing counselor from each. And then we have strategies in how you work the housing counselors, because they're all overworked, especially the ones from HUD, and do that. And then there's other things, like in our community, we have specific discussion groups that people can join about housing. Like one of the tips that was in there last week is people were using Craigslist. And they were reverse searching the process. And some people were reverse searching it this way. They would put out an ad and they would say, listen, I can live in your home. This is my deal. And I could do this, this, and this. Maybe lay out your medicine or make your breakfast in the morning and that. And there's a lot of homes out there where there are other people that are, either perhaps transitioning of older age. They're transitioning, but they're not ready to leave their home and go on to the next step. And having somebody in there would be helpful. Form, like little tips like that, that's helping people out. So that's the short story on housing.
It sounds very creative. It sounds like you really afford creative ideas and approaches to people with disabilities in order for them to find that quality of living and of life that they need, which probably many times you find that they're down and out or depression or things like that because they don't know, they don't have a resource. And discovering something like this is obviously a great benefit for them.
Mm.
So I congratulate you for that. I'm curious, we're talking a little bit about housing. In your research, have you found that people who, for example, are homeless, there's a high rate of people with disabilities?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the statistics are, but yeah. And there's a lot of people that fall through the cracks that are, they're disabled and they're homeless. And unfortunately, it also seems that a lot of them are not receiving any Social Security assistance.
Not Social Security, not any health benefits. What about like war veterans, for example? It just seems to be so prevalent in that segment of our society.
Yeah, and this is a very general statement. I don't have any research to support this, but I just feel that the vets actually are better taken care of. The fact that they were a veteran can put them in a better position than somebody that was not.
You'll found that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, veterans, there's veterans benefits, a package for veterans that's decent. And in addition to that, they can also get Social Security. I've met some people that are on three different benefit packages. They had one from their company, long-term disability, they have a veterans package, and they're on Social Security.
What's the aim grade? Do you find females, males, elderly, middle? I mean, in your research, what are your stats as far as the membership on your website?
Well, mine is skewed because of how I advertise. We're an early stage business, so we're still, we've been out for 2 years, but we advertise where we can attractively create, affordably create a business. But, you know, those, maybe I could address it this way, know if it's what you're looking for, but the people that typically apply for disability, are 45, and when we did our research, I believe they were like 45 to 52 was the, where most people apply for their disability income. And I don't know the difference between, I don't remember the difference between male and female.
We have about a few minutes left, Brian, so let's talk a little bit about the website, the Disability Digest.
Sure.
How one can become a member and, you know, about the different links that you have and everything. We have about 3 minutes left, and I really want to get that information out, how they can get hold of it, is there a fee, things like that.
Right. The DisabilityDigest.com. There is no fee. The membership is free. And so people always scratch their head and they say, well, geez, how do you guys make it? We're supported by advertising. And there's different products and services that we provide, you know, book reviews, tapes, things that are educational. And when we can from vendors, we try to get a kickback that makes it work. And it's worked. For 2 years, we've been around. So what that allows us to do is to run a business, allow people that are disabled to work for us, and to provide all of the information, content, membership, you know, free. Much like a radio station operates. You know, you probably have an ad or two between, you know, segments. It's relatively same concept, and it would have to be for people with disabilities. So how somebody can get started is they can go to the disabilitydigest.com. They can type in that exact address, or they can go to Google and search on the Disability Digest. And just read through the first page of information. There's a registration form on there, and pick their most important need. And we'll do our best to help you out.
And do you have a phone number that someone can call?
We do, but it's because we're free, we're not in a position to really service a whole lot of phone calls.
Okay. All right. Well, Brian, is there anything else you'd like to add here in a nutshell as far as people with disability, as far as resources, or anything else that you'd like to add?
No, just that, you know, it's a pleasure to help people out and to welcome people to come on by, and we are in hopes that we can give them, you know, the wisdom and the knowledge so that they can, you know, they can be armed with the information to, you know, to, as I say, thrive on disability instead of just survive on it. So that's my message.
Absolutely, Brian. You know, I want to thank you so much for championing this segment of our society, someone that definitely needs a champion like yourself, Brian Therrien. I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today on Health Talk and for providing so much needed information to that segment of our society. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, and hopefully you have another opportunity to speak with you again.
Sure. My pleasure, Patricia.
Thanks, Brian, so much. Take care.